If you're a guest and this is your first time to be here, we're glad you're here. We hope you feel special. We hope more than anything you feel the love and spirit of Jesus Christ here as we worship together. And what I want to just let you know is just consider yourself, imagine yourself, if you're our guest, imagine yourself being invited into our family room for a family discussion about our church's future, because that future may include you as well. To the class of 2017, man, congratulations. This is exciting. I know a lot of you guys, and you're about to graduate, and you're also about to embark on a new adventure, an adventure where you are going to have opportunities and responsibilities you've never had before. You are going to have successes in areas that you always knew that you would if just given the chance, and you'll do that. But you'll also have some bumps along the road, and you'll have some failures. That's okay. Failure is a wonderful teacher, and failure makes the future successes even sweeter. For those of you who are graduating, though, and looking forward, just remember this. It is much more about the journey in front of you than the destination. And so I would encourage you to think big, dream big, and think of a journey that is so great that it'll take your entire lifetime to achieve. Just trust God in that time and give it your all. With every step you take, give it your best. The journey into the future for our church that I'm going to talk about today, some of you will be a part of that because you'll either stay here or you'll come back here. But some of you will not be able to go on this journey because you'll be moving somewhere else. And I would encourage you to imagine as to listen to what I say today and imagine as I talk, imagine finding a church with a similar journey, a journey that's all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. You find that church and you join it. And to our church family, Brazos Point, today we begin a new journey, a journey into the future, a journey that's going to change who we are, a journey that's going to take us places we've never been before. And as I've thought about this journey, it reminds me of the words from 1 Corinthians that say, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. We really believe God has revealed some things about our future to us, and those are the things that I want to talk to you about today. So if you have a Bible, I would invite you to open it to Acts chapter 16. I want to share just a little story with you about this. Acts is in the New Testament of the Bible, so if you're not real familiar with it, Acts is three-fourths of the way across the Bible. So go all the way, three-fourths of the way across, or if you're on your phone, scroll down, three-fourths of the way down there, and you'll find Acts chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen for you. But we'd love for you to have your own Bible. We'd love to give you one, so you could walk by the Welcome Center on your way out and pick one up. You'll have it to read at home and write in thoughts that you have as you're reading, and also bring it back here and read, or at least download the BPF app, and there's a Bible on that one as well. Well, now, what we're going to read about, this story we're going to read about in Acts 16, it's about a guy by the name of Paul. We never knew Paul's last name. I don't know if he had one. His original name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus, but when he stepped over the line of faith to follow Jesus Christ, God gave him a new name, Paul. We call him Paul. We call him the Apostle Paul. Paul was one of the church's first missionaries. And Paul, he went on his first mission excursion. He and a team went with him, and they went into Asia, from the Middle East up into Asia, to a country we now know of as Turkey. And he went around there, and he told many people about Jesus Christ, and he started several new churches there in that area. A few years after that journey, he went back. He went back to encourage the people that he had met and led to Christ, to encourage the churches, and he wanted to go further and start even more churches. But as he left the places he had already been and started to push into a province called Asia there in the greater Asian continent, the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid him from going in there. Now, we don't know how that happened. We don't have any idea how the Holy Spirit did that. But what we do know is that Paul backed up and changed course, and he kept going and kept trying to find a place to go that was new to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll pick up his story in verse 7 of Acts 16. When they came to the border of Mysia, and when I say they, it's talking about Paul and his companions, this team that went with him. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Once again, they're stopped, and we don't know how, we just know that he did. Verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. Probably he had a dream, and in that dream, he had a vision from God. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Macedonia was on the other side of the Aegean Sea, near Greece, on the continent of Europe. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word gospel means good news, and when it's in the Bible, it means the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, if you haven't heard, is that God loved the world so much he sent his son Jesus to our world. Jesus lived a sinless life, taught us a lot of things, and then he died a sacrificial death to pay the penalty for our sin, a penalty we could never pay on our own. We could never do enough to erase that debt. And that if we would admit our sins and put our life and our trust in Jesus Christ, he would forgive our sins and give us new life in him. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Paul wanted to share across Asia and into Europe. And yet he was struggling with where to go because God kept preventing him. And I can relate to that because over the last couple of years, there are a few places where I've thought this would be a great place to start another BPF campus. But God never opened that door to us. And so we just kind of kept backing up and plugging away and doing whatever we felt God was leading us to do. When we moved out here 3.5 years ago from our building in Clute, we sensed then that this was much more the beginning of a journey than the end of one. This was not an end in itself. Building this building, moving onto this campus, has never been the mission or the vision of Brazos Point Fellowship. This is merely a launching pad for that vision and that mission. Our vision from the very first day has always been to be a church. Many of you can say it with me, a church for the unchurched, right? Our mission is what we do. And our mission, say it with me if you know it, it's guiding people to take their next step with God. This building here between Brazoria and Lake Jackson is simply a tool to help us with that mission and that vision. Now, on the day we moved in, some of you were here and you might remember that I said, we are going to continue to help start more churches, new churches, and somewhere in the future, we are going to branch out and open more campuses here in southern Brazoria County. Well, during this time, since we've been out here, we have helped launch 4 other church plants, 1 in Freeport, 1 in Pearland, and 2 in Seattle. During this same time, we've added staff here. We have added a third service back. We started out here in 2 services. We've expanded our own facility just this year to keep up with all the growth in children's ministry that we have had. But starting another campus somewhere else here in southern Brazoria County has been something we just couldn't get our arms around. So 1 year ago, I believe this week, is when I asked you to begin praying for breakthrough. Ask God to break through and show us when and where to build this campus and who would be the leader. You might remember if you were here this time last year that we had several other things that we prayed for breakthrough on. And if you've been with us for a while, you know that God has answered all those prayers. He answered our prayers for a next-gen pastor, for a new student minister. And he answered our prayers about building this expansion next door without having to take on any new debt. We received even more good news. In the last few weeks, we learned that as we finished up this building expansion next door, that the build came in significantly under budget. That's incredible. Because you also gave and exceeded what our estimate was on the building. And so because of that, those are the two things we prayed for God to do, to match our expenses with our resources, and God flipped it. Because of that, we'll be able to completely furnish both the inside and all the outside gathering area and still have a significant amount of money to apply on the debt of the original build. God has been good to us. Now, all this may seem just really simple, like, yeah, no big deal. Just a little add-on there. This could not have happened without another significant gift that God gave our church several years ago. And that gift was the gift of a man named Kirk Wilson, who is our executive pastor. His leadership through this build helped us do some things that not too many people could have pulled off. And Kirk just does that. He's done that in so many different ways. We owe a debt of gratitude to Kirk Wilson for helping us do some of the things that we have done. When you see Kirk, tell him thanks. And if you know Kirk, you know Kirk's a real touchy-feely guy. He just would love for you to give him a big bear hug. So just go up and hug on that man. So what about the fourth prayer? The fourth prayer for breakthrough. Well, in 2016, we asked God to reveal where and when we should start another BPF campus and who would lead that. Today, I'm very pleased to tell you that I believe God has answered most of those prayers, and I want to tell you what those answers to those prayers are. But before we go there, let me just remind you of why we would do this. Let's answer the big question, why? Why build a second campus and then a third and fourth after that? Why would we do that? Well, the answer is simple, and it goes back to our vision. Because God gave us the vision. that is still before us to be a church for the unchurched in southern Brazoria County. Not just Lake Jackson where we are, not just in Clute where we spent 8 years of our journey, but all over the county. Since we began, and almost from the initial days that we started, we have had people in our church from Richwood, Clute, Lake Jackson, Freeport, Oyster Creek, Jones Creek, Sargent, Sweeney, West Columbia, Brazoria, Damon. We have folks in Van Vleck and Bay City and everywhere in between, even the hill country of Damon. Yeah, that's the Brazoria County hill country? One hill? Okay. Well, when we moved out here 3.5 years ago, the number of folks from the north and west increased significantly. Now, here's something we have learned through the years. If you drive 20 minutes or more to get here, and many of you do, then we find it's less likely that you will join a small group, and it's less likely that you'll find a place to serve. You may invite some of your friends in your communities to come and see, but they're not as likely to come and accept that invitation and make the drive that you're willing to make every week. It is even harder for our students to invite their friends and convince their friends to come here on a weekend. I know this firsthand. Of all the young men that I've been leading in a small group the past 6 years west of the Brazos, a great many of those guys have never been here on a weekend, and if they have, they've only been here once or twice in the whole time they were in junior high and high school. We have to go to them. Now, there are a lot of places where we could start another BPF campus, and a lot of places we hope to start BPF campuses in the southern part of Brazoria County. But we can't go to all of them, so where do we start? Well, we believe the place that God has given us to start and launch our first BPF campus will be Angleton, Texas. More than any, yeah, that's Angleton crowd, hoorah, yeah. More than anything, we've just sensed that Angleton is where God is leading us to start this multi-campus movement, to launch a multi-campus movement. There are a lot of other reasons, though, as we look at it, that all kind of came together to convince us this was the place. For one thing, Angleton is the second largest community in southern Brazoria County. We already have a lot of Angleton residents that are coming here and are a part of what we do. In a survey we took in January, many of you took, over 100 responses on that survey had an Angleton zip code. We have more staff and more volunteers in key areas from Angleton than any other community outside of the Brazosport area. When you think about Angleton, Angleton is in a strategic place in our county. It's convenient not only for folks in Angleton to go to a campus there, but also folks to the west of Angleton in Bailey's Prairie, Barrettes, Columbia Lakes, and on into West Columbia. The reach of a campus in Angleton could go north as well, up to Rocheron and to Alvin and to Danbury. It'd be a very strategic place to go. And finally, when we think about why would we start a church up there, start a campus of Brazos Point, it's because there's no other church quite like Brazos Point there. Now, before your mind goes to thinking different things about that statement, let me be very clear about something, okay? There is more than one way to do church and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way and ways we do it, it's just one way. It's a way. It is not the only way. It's not the best way. It's just the way God has given us. And there are a lot of other churches in the Angleton community and in southern Brazoria County. And those churches are probably reaching people that we might not reach, that might not connect with how we do things. But I'm certain that there are also people in those communities that will connect with us that aren't connecting with some of the other churches. And so that is why we're going. That's why we need to go. As a matter of fact, I talked to a few of my pastor friends in Angleton. They're pastoring Angleton churches. And I wanted to go to them, and I wanted them to hear the news from me before we went public with it today. I wanted them to hear my heart, and I wanted them to know why we're coming. And it was just such a cool, both conversations were so cool. Both of those guys were so gracious in their response. They both looked at me and they said, you know what? Angleton's a big community. There are literally thousands upon thousands of people here who do not know Jesus Christ, and we can't reach all of them. And the more of us in here doing this, the better it's going to be for the kingdom of God. And I agree with them. That's why we're going. So with all of this in mind, As we've been praying about it last year, one of the first things that came to us is that we believed that Angleton was going to be the place for us to start our first multi-site campus. And what we decided to do is, when it was time to replace two of the people on our advisory team, our seven-person advisory team, when two others rotated off, we decided to fill those spots with folks from Angleton. Interesting thing happened, though, once we did that. We wanted some Angleton representation on the advisory team since we were going to start a campus there. About the same time, one of our advisory team members said, hey, we just moved up to Danbury, so we would like to be on that launch team as well. Then another one of the advisory team members said, well, we're planning on moving up to Angleton sometime in the next couple of years. We're starting a business up there. We're going to retire from here, and we would like to be on the Angleton church plant team. Then still another member, now do the math. There's only 7 positions on this team. Still another one said, well, I'm in Lake Jackson, but I really want to help start this church. I want to be a part of this start. So as of right now, only 2 of the 7 members on our advisory team are planning to worship here on this campus. God is up to something in Angleton, don't you think? Over the last couple of months, I have been meeting with folks from Angleton. I've gone to all the adult small groups that we have in Angleton. I've talked to them, Randy and I have. We've also met with several people who are serving in key volunteer positions in our church. And we wanted to talk to them and say, is this, you know, we want to get some confirmation. Is this the place we should go? And many of those people we've talked to have already committed to be on the Angleton launch team. And more than one have looked at me in tears and have said, Greg, I have prayed about a church like this in Angleton for years. And I just know that if we had a church like this, we could reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Several more of my friends would go to a church if it was here. And I agree with them, and that is why we are going. Now, the actual location of the campus, where we're going to do that, we don't know. That'll be for the launch team to figure out. They'll be able to do that. That'll be the first job. Well, the next question is, when? When will we launch this new campus? Well, last year, as we prayed through 2016, we were hoping, or at least I can tell you, I was hoping for a 2017 start. But as we prayed and as we began researching and reading and learning and talking to other churches that were in multi-site and learning about this, the more we learned about the necessary steps to starting another campus, we realized that the healthiest time for us to start this new campus would be January of 2018. And so that is our target date, is January 2018 to launch this new campus. And there's several reasons for this. One is that January is generally a very high attendance month for churches. And it stands to reason. It's the start of the new year. A lot of people are looking for a fresh start. What better time to invite your unchurched friends to come to church? And that also will give us time to put together a launch team over the summer and into the fall, because there's a lot of work to do to prepare for that. Part of the process will be what we call having preview services. That's something I never heard about when we started this church several years ago, but something that our church in Galveston that we planted, Coastal, did. The idea is that during the fall, 2 or 3 times, you know, several weeks apart, we'll have a preview service. We'll have an actual worship service in Angleton just to go through and start introducing this concept of a new campus there. And what we'll do is that'll be a great opportunity for us to invite our unchurched friends to come there and get a taste of what is to come in January, and it'll also help build momentum for that January start. It'll give our launch team the opportunity to practice and see what all is necessary before we start going to an every week service. I will tell you this, as we look to forming this launch team that I hope a lot of you will join, we are only looking for people who have a heart and a mind to serve and to work hard. No spectators needed. We don't need anyone to volunteer to go fill a seat there. Those seats will be for unchurched folks. We need servants and volunteers to come in there, and we need a lot of them. Well, the final question is, who will lead it? Who will lead it? Well, we have a long-term answer for that, but not so much in the short term. We know that we'll have to find a campus pastor, and we will be looking and kind of have been looking for a campus pastor to lead that campus, but it's going to have to be someone who will come here and really be a part of us and understand our DNA, and then we'll turn that over to them to lead. But for now, the way we're going to approach this is we're just adding 2 more services. We know how to do that. We started with 1, quickly added 2, then we went to 3. We can add a 4th and a 5th service. They're just in a different building. So that's how we'll start and lead it as we go. And you may be thinking, okay, well, what will a morning at Brazos Point Angleton, if that's what we decide to call it, what will a morning at Brazos Point Angleton look like? Well, let me help you picture that, okay? Everyone close your eyes, okay? Now, open your eyes. It'll look like this. It'll just be in a different building, okay? It's Brazos Point, okay? It'll still be me or Randy speaking, but we'll be on a video screen. which is not unlike what you're becoming used to here. As a matter of fact, Randy and I have talked about this. It's kind of funny. We have noticed that since we had the cameras a few months ago, that most of you that are sitting more than four or five rows back, and especially on the sides, you're watching the screens most of the time. Now you're looking here, but you know, it's like, I see you. You're like, you know, I look at you and you're just like looking at the screen. Here's how it will work in Angleton. We will record the service here. And whenever I'm speaking here, Randy will be on the Angleton campus. When Randy is speaking here, I will be on the Angleton campus. You know, in those rare exceptions when one of us is out of town on a mission trip or on vacation, we'll have some other speakers as well. But we'll be a presence there. Everything else that we do, everything else on the campus will be live. We have a lot of folks, a lot of vocalists, a lot of instrumentalists in our band. And so we'll be rotating those folks in and out. So you'll see the same bands that you see here. We'll still have Brazos Point Kids Ministries for preschool, for elementary, and preteens there. We'll have a Next Step Center, a small group center, a student center. We'll have a hospitality team and probably parking folks. And it wouldn't be Brazos Point without coffee and donut holes. You know what I mean? We'll have that. That's a necessity right at the start. Between now and January, we have a lot of work to do. So if you are interested in this campus and being a part of it, or even slightly interested, then I want you to mark your calendars for June the 4th. On Sunday evening, June the 4th, we will have a new campus interest meeting. Now, I'm saving some of the details for that, and of course, we will also have plenty of time for question and answer. Now, let me just say this to those of you who live in Angleton. If you live in Angleton, I want you to hear this very clearly. You will always be welcome on this campus. You don't have to go, and we don't want to push you into it or make you feel guilty, okay? You'll always be welcome here, wherever you feel God is leading you to be. But I do want to ask you to at least pray about it and ask God if He would want you to be a part of that new campus launch there. For those of you who live in the Brazosport area or west of the Brazos or way south, I want you also to pray about whether or not you would be part of that launch team. We need a lot of folks to be on this launch team. I just came back from a conference with our Next Gen team in Atlanta, Georgia last week, and one of the breakouts I went to was about starting multi-campuses. And they said the most critical factor in starting a new campus is the size and strength of the launch team. So we need to go big when we do this. Even if you don't live in Angleton, I want you to pray about going there too. You see, if you want to experience something special, there is nothing like being on the ground floor of starting up a new church, a new campus. And I really desire that experience for as many of you as possible to have that. So you pray about it too, okay? Now let's shift gears a little bit. On another note, our journey into the future is going to include a lot of things here on this campus as well. We are expanding our intern program, as Joseph said. And we'll have a lot more interns working on our staff this summer, spending time with our students and children than we've had in the past. Under Tiffany Crow's leadership, our expanded children's building next door is giving us the opportunity to increase our focus on families with special needs children. It's just a wonderful opportunity. We're meeting lots of new wonderful folks as they're coming in here. And we'll be expanding our special needs more and more and more. You'll see some exciting things happen in the future. Randy Dane, our equipping pastor, he is leading a search for a new missions minister on our staff. It's going to help us expand our reach both near and far. You know, we have not been able to put as much energy and attention into our missions locally and especially globally these past few years with all the changes that have been going on that we would like to. But a new missions minister will solve that problem, and we'll be able to focus a lot more attention on our missions, especially overseas. Here's some of the ideas, some of the things that are happening right now. As we have teens preparing for mission trips this summer to Seattle and Bolivia and Kenya, one of our largest teams in a while going to Kenya, Michelle Harrison, our connections minister, is right now across the African continent in West Africa in the nation of Mali, and she's exploring opportunities for us to take teams to Mali as well. As a matter of fact, this is Mali's flag over here to your right. Whenever we have someone on a mission trip overseas, we display the flag of that country so that you can know to be praying for them. And Michelle will be back next week. And we look forward to hearing about how we can have a partnership in Mali. We're also considering expanding our reach into Eastern Europe, in the nation of Bulgaria, because we've been invited there. New opportunities continue to open up in Southeast Asia and Bolivia, where we've been a long time. There's so many new opportunities happening for our church just in the next several months. So for some of you, it's going to give you an opportunity to get a new stamp on your passport. If you don't have a passport, get it now. Don't wait till you've signed up for the trip. Go ahead and get it now. Be ready. And you start praying about where God's going to take you, because it has always been our desire that every one of you go on at least one international mission trip in your lifetime. And we still want to make that happen. So think about that. A lot of new things will happen. A lot of new opportunities are in store for many of you. And I'm going to be doing something new this summer as well. I'm going to be taking a sabbatical this summer. I'll be gone the month of July and the first half of August. I'll be in Washington, D.C. And sabbaticals are times that it's a common thing in academia, but it's becoming much more common among churches and church pastors. Sabbatical comes from the word seven. And the idea of sabbatical is to create some uninterrupted space every seventh year in your ministry to hear and explore fresh ideas from God. Well, I missed that seven-year mark twice, so I'm going to go on my first sabbatical at year 16. As I've studied the concept, most sabbaticals are anywhere from 3 months to 6 months. I'll be good with 6 weeks gone. That's about all I think I can stand being away from here. But it's going to be a time for me to unplug from my normal responsibilities and just dream about the future of Brazos Point Fellowship. It's not a vacation. It's not a vacation. I plan to do a lot of work there. I plan to do a lot of reading while I'm there and also do writing. I don't know if anything I write will ever be published, but I've been kicking a few book ideas around in my head the last couple of years, and a couple of folks have encouraged me to write. So I was thinking about, I read a book by Dwight Eisenhower a few years ago. It's called At Ease, Stories I Tell My Friends. I thought, I got a title there too. I'll write my book, I'll say, Stories I'll Tell Anyone Who Will Listen. We'll see. I also hope to write our church's story so they can help church planters in their journey. Well, my absence is going to provide an opportunity for other people to lead during that time. Randy Dane will assume most of my responsibilities while I'm gone, and the church will be in really good hands. So why do we do all the things that we do? Why is it our responsibility to do that? Well, I think to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Much has been given to us. We do what we do because Jesus has entrusted with us the good news of salvation. The good news for our communities around here, but not just one or two communities here in Southern Brazoria County, all of the communities, and not just Southern Brazoria County, not just Brazoria County, but other places as well. God has given us platforms of influence up north in the north part of the county in Pearland and across Houston with the Houston Church Planting Network and in the Northwest with the Seattle Church Planting Network and in a half a dozen countries on four different continents around the world. Much has been given to us. Much is expected of us. When I think back 16 years ago when we started this church, I remember so many nights when I would lay down and go to bed and I would think about other people in our communities around here who would lay their head on their pillows that night and face a Christless eternity if they didn't wake up the next morning. I couldn't live with that. I couldn't live with knowing so many people did not really know about Jesus. They hadn't really heard Jesus explain to them in a way that they could understand. And I just couldn't keep doing church as usual because it wasn't reaching out to the people who are adults and wasn't connecting with them. God had burned a vision in my heart for a new kind of church, and I had to do it. And I met several other people who felt the same way as I did. And we got together and we started Brazos Point Fellowship. And we just followed the steps that God gave us as we moved forward. And because of that, hundreds and hundreds of people and perhaps thousands of people now know Jesus Christ personally. They have eternal life. They have a real life and a meaningful life now. And their eternity with Jesus Christ is secure. but thousands remain. Thousands of folks remain in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, who don't know Jesus Christ. I think about the Apostle Paul's words. The man who earlier was going and trying to share God's good news, share the gospel across Asia, and God said, not there for now, I'm taking you into Europe. As I think about him, I think also about a letter he wrote to a church that he had not been able to come to yet, but someone else had evidently started in the city of Rome. And he wrote this to them, and he was talking about his responsibility to start new churches and their responsibility to start new churches. He said, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Just because someone knows the name of Jesus does not mean they understand who he is or how much he loves them or what he's done for them. How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Our friends and family and neighbors here in southern Brazoria County need to have someone sent to hear them in all parts of our county. Our students in junior high and high school at campuses beyond just the ones in BISD need to have someone sent to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Families with special needs children who are very special, they need someone sent to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. People all over our county and up in Pearland, across Houston, in Seattle, and in countries around the world where God has directed us to go, need someone sent to them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the question is, if not us, who? And if not now, when? It's us. It's now. I hope you'll join me on this journey into the future.
Let's pray. Father, we've inquired and you have faithfully answered. And God, now we make plans and we commit those plans to you because we know and believe that it is you who guides our steps. And God, there are so many things that we know, but there are so many things that we don't know and have questions for. And yet in faith, we look to you believing that you will move and that you will respond and that you are working on our behalf because this is your church and this is your vision. And so, God, we pray with humble hearts the same thing that the prophet Isaiah said when he said, here am I, send me. So, God, with humility, bowing ourselves before you, we ask, God, that you would move in the hearts and lives of our folks so that we could be sent because of all the things that we don't know, God, we know so clearly the why. That it is because there are people in our communities, there are people that do not know Christ, there are people that are far from God, and we believe that you are sending us so that we can share the hope that we have in Christ. God, we pray with humble hearts that you would use this vision for the glory of God so that we would see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, we just want to be used by you. And God, we know our why. It's so that you will be glorified. It's not about us. It's not about this church. But it is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, God, we pray that you would move in our midst, that you would move in our presence, and that you would use us as we seek to be used for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.